It is The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chirkin. Thanks for being here. Now to the credit card industry and steps to better track firearms sales. The International Organization for Standardization approved what is known as a merchant category code for firearms stores. Major credit cards like Visa are adopting the change. Some gun control advocates call the development a major step forward. Join in on how you think firearm sales should be categorized on your credit card statement, 800-642-1234. Lee Williams is chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. The nonprofit supports gun rights and is based in Washington State. Lee, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation, Kate.
Well, let's talk about this merchant category codes, four-digit numbers used to classify businesses. Explain this new development in these codes.
Well, taking a step back, in my humble opinion, I don't think it matters what your position is on the Second Amendment. Every civil libertarian out there should be alarmed by this move. It was created by and started by a group called the Amalgamated Bank, which is not really a bank like you or I would know. It's more of a political project. They are the ones that pushed this through the ISO, which you mentioned earlier, and got the code. If you take a look at the bank's website, you'll see that they partner with many organizations on the left, and they're pretty anti-gun. They've said that it's important for banks to support political candidates, political parties, political action committees that oppose the Second Amendment, and they're very much for progressive change. It seems to us that through this, by using this code, it creates a gun registry. It'll create a registry of everybody who shops at a gun store. And that is, if the federal government was doing it, that would be illegal under several federal laws. So through this, and this is my point, it seems that the Biden-Harris administration who pushed Amalgamated Bank into doing this, has privatized civil rights violations. Now, this isn't the
pause? I just want to flesh that out a bit, because the bank that applied for this change, as you say, Amalgamated Financial, said basically this is about compliance and risk. And they argued that it was necessary to identify credit risk. And I think the bank's president said to fully comply with our duty to report suspicious activity and illegal gun sales to authorities without blocking or impeding legal gun sales. Do they have a point?
No, I don't think they do. They haven't even defined what a suspicious gun sale would be. Just the other day I bought a case of rifle ammunition and a case of pistol ammunition. It's 1,000 rounds of each. Would that have been suspicious? I needed them because that weekend I was taking a training class. I get two or three pistols shipped to me, which would be considered by the ATF a suspicious and possible straw purchase. But I review the pistols and write product reviews. I think they're putting the cart way in front of the horse. And if you look at Visa's response to this, Visa pushed back hard against this. Visa was concerned that it would violate the privacy of their members. And we see this as the second attempt by the Biden-Harris administration to privatize, to get away with something that federal law and the Constitution prevent them from doing. I mean, just look at how they pressured big tech to censor stuff on Facebook and Twitter and other social media groups. That would have been a clear violation of the First Amendment if the Biden-Harris administration had done it. So they pressured big tech into it.
Going back to Visa for a moment, the world's largest payment processor, they cautioned us about reading too much into this new code and trying to connect a new merchant code for gun sellers as a means to interfere with, lawful sales. Is this change being blown out of proportion here?
I don't think so. It creates a registry of gun owners, something the administration has wanted, something the ATF has tried to do twice, and we caught them both times. Several federal laws prevent the government from creating a list of gun owners, a gun registry, which is what this does. It lets everybody that shops at a gun store.
We're talking about a new credit card vendor code that will track firearm purchases made from gun vendors. Lee Williams is here, works for the nonprofit, the Second Amendment Foundation. You can join in with your insights at 800-642-1234. You know, prior to this decision, gun store sales, Lee, were classified under categories like general merchandise or sporting goods. Is that more suitable?
Yeah, I believe so. I think you just have to look at what Visa said in their statement about this. And I'm quoting, "We believe that asking payment networks to serve as a moral authority by deciding which legal goods can or cannot be purchased sets a dangerous precedent. We understood Amalgamated Bank's request to be justified at least in part, but an interest in blocking transactions that would fall under such a new category, and Visa's rules expressly prohibit blocking of legal transactions under an MCC. What concerns me most, Kate, is what they consider a suspicious purchase. Now, we are all about blocking true, legitimate, suspicious purchases and keeping firearms and ammunition out of the hands of prohibited people. But they said they're creating an algorithm that would tell you what Amalgamated said they're creating an algorithm that would tell you what suspicious purchases are. I would really like to see that.
How would you prefer credit card companies code this or account, you know, for these firearm stores? How should they be categorized?
General purchase, general stuff, you know, like it, exactly like it was before. When, by doing this, they now create a list of people that shop at gun stores, which is a de facto gun registry that's been privatized. It's been outsourced to private companies. I believe NRA said it best when they said they Amalgamated has been deputized to create by the government to create a gun registry. And that is truly concerning, especially now when you look at some of the other actions that the administration is taking on our firearms.
What about big box stores that sell rifles and handguns and ammunition? Will they have this merchant code or a different one?
They will. I assume they will. If they're going to be selling firearms on credit, I assume they're going to have the same MCC, the merchant category code.
So like Gander Mountain and stores like that would also use this type of merchant code?
I'm not sure. Is Gander Mountain still in business?
I'm not actually sure either, but I'm thinking about the large sporting goods type stores that do sell firearms. Would those be a different code, or are these specific to only gun stores that sell just guns?
According to the ISO, it would be for firearm retailers. So I imagine if there's still a big box store left that's selling firearms, they would have to use this code when they're selling firearms.
Let's take a call now. Cindy is with us from Menominee Falls. Cindy, what's on your mind?
Hello. I have a question. You've been talking about these merchant codes for the purchase of firearms. And first of all, I'm curious, are there merchant codes for other types of purchases like furniture, household goods, things of that nature? And secondly, I guess if there's upset over this so-called gun registry, where was the outrage over the mattress registry or the sofa registry?
Cindy, thank you. Lee, go ahead.
Well, I'll start with the last part first. You don't have a constitutional right to own a sofa or a mattress. You do have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms. And the Second Amendment prevents the government from infringing upon that right. So that's where the outrage is, because this seems to be an infringement that has been outsourced to private companies.
There's concern that this could also lead to other codes in the future, codes that could be used to track other politically charged businesses like abortion providers. Is that possible?
Yeah, I see once these things become in common usage and used for political reasons, I don't see it stopping.
We're discussing new merchant codes for processing firearm sales and the reaction from the credit card industry. Lee Williams is with the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. Join in on credit card purchase tracking, how you feel about merchant codes, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the credit card industry categorizing sales at gun shops with a new merchant code for gun shops. One question that rises to the surface, how will credit card companies determine if a gun purchase is suspicious? And would this open the door to other types of transaction tracking? Join in 800-642-1234. Lee Williams is here, chief editor at the nonprofit Second Amendment Foundation Investigative Reporting Project, stays with us. Let's bring in Andrew now in Palmyra. Andrew, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
So one point that I wanted to mention is that this is kind of a fascist sort of relationship that the government is trying to get into with credit card companies, and they're doing it because they know that on a legislative level they can't do it because it's a constitutionally protected right, so they're using private companies to go and enforce their policies. But my question is if they can do this on firearms today, what says that they won't apply this same approach to people who want to go and buy cigarettes or people who want to buy alcohol or, you know, red meat down the line? Say that's, you know, something that the government believes people shouldn't be able to buy, or that it should be tracked and limited. So I just want people to consider that.
Andrew, thank you. Lee, what are your concerns there?
I agree with Andrew. I think that it could be misused. Say you want to donate to a certain political party by credit card, that could end up being tracked. This is clearly, in my humble opinion, an attempt by the government to circumvent federal law. This is a workaround. They know that they can't track gun sales because of the Second Amendment, so they privatized it out. And as we said earlier, our biggest concern is what constitutes a suspicious purchase, and that has not been answered. And if you look, we're not the only ones raising objections. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik out of New York and 100 of her colleagues have sent a letter to Visa, MasterCard, and American Express expressing their concerns about this firearm retailer, MCC. So there are a lot of people that are worried about this.
This new merchant code, some analysts say, researchers say, is very limited because in a 2016 Justice Department survey of people incarcerated in federal and state prisons, only 7% of them had a gun while committing their offense that had purchased that weapon under their name from a licensed dealer. So this idea that, that tracking guns for this regard for illegal purposes seems more limited because, you know, guns are gotten from other ways, like a black market deal.
You just reaffirmed our case, Kate. None of these, and if you look at the Biden-Harris administration's gun control agenda, and I've written about it, and it was a long story because we tried to cover all aspects of it. Nothing in there, not one thing, is designed to disarm the bad guys, disarm the criminals. Every single thing in there is concerned about disarming law-abiding citizens and keeping and making it more difficult for a law-abiding citizen to obtain firearms. So I think you get it now, what we're looking at. We're all about getting and disarming the bad guys, but this certainly doesn't impact that at all. Yet it will serve as a good mechanism for the administration to track gun purchasers and create a registry of gun owners.
Wouldn't gun buyers then just use cash instead of credit cards to purchase a firearm if that transaction is happening above board at a gun shop?
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that there are a few dealers right now that are buying counting machines. Yeah, but it also would kill online firearm sales. And there's a big misnomer about that. You can't buy a firearm online without a background check. But you can go to dozens and dozens of websites out there, find something you like, purchase it, and then it is shipped to your local dealer where you have to go pick it up and go through a background check. So I would this targets online gun sales. It would make them more difficult for people who do not want to end up on a federal registry. But yeah, cash is king. You're absolutely right.
Payment systems like Apple Pay and PayPal have banned the sale of guns on their platforms. And, you know, credit card companies could follow suit. If more platforms ban gun sales, how might that affect the industry?
Well, the industry is, pardon the pun, booming right now. Joe Biden has turned into more of a gun salesman than his predecessors, any of his predecessors. Right
but,
now, it's
but
it,
let me just let's pause there for a moment because, you know, violence is booming, if you should say, in those horrible terms. I mean, look at the violence happening in our cities. How do you curb that violence and get guns off the street?
Well, like you said earlier, these people are not buying their guns from gun dealers, these criminals. They're getting them the old-fashioned way. They're stealing them. I think the best way to do it, especially in some of these big cities, is to take the reins off the cops and let them go get them. There are over 100,000 documented gang members in the city of Chicago. The cops know who they are. Chicago PD's had a gang unit since the 20s when they ran around after a guy named Al Capone. Unfortunately, it is the administration that has got these cops there restrained. And I used to be in law enforcement before I became a journalist. Let the cops go. Let them go out there and arrest the bad guys. And then we also need district attorneys and state attorneys who have the wherewithal to put these guys in prison rather than this catch and release crap that's going on now. That's how you cut down on violence in major cities.
Let's go to Chris in Delavan. Chris, hi.
Hello. I'm just not a constitutional expert, so I was kind of just wondering how exactly the government, you know, keeping track of gun sales is against the Second Amendment. And then I do have a comment about what was just said. It's my understanding that most of the guns that are seized in Chicago are actually legally obtained in bordering states like Minnesota and Wisconsin. So I kind of would just expect you to know that since you're in law enforcement. I'll take my comments up here. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Chris. Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, I would love to see more intelligence on where these guns are purchased that are caught in crimes. And there are numerous federal statutes that prohibit the government from creating a gun registry. I don't have them all at my tip. They're not contained in the Second Amendment, although I would consider that an infringement. But numerous federal laws prohibit the government from creating a gun registry.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new credit card vendor code, merchant code, that would be used by gun store vendors. Lee Williams is with the nonprofit, the Second Amendment Foundation, that is opposed to this, says that it would create a nationwide gun registry. What do you think? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Lee, it seems that your group is aligning part and parcel with the NRA, which is also vehemently opposed, calling this, in your words as well, creating a national registry of gun owners. Do you feel like you are in lockstep with what the NRA is saying on this issue?
I think we're in lockstep with any civil libertarian. I mean, this is clearly an assault on the Second Amendment. Of course, Second Amendment groups are going to oppose this because this could, right now, in Joe Biden's America, our rights are under assault. And we could talk for hours about the broad, sweeping anti-gun agenda that his administration is pushing. So I'm pretty sure every pro-gun group, every civil libertarian group out there would look at this and say, yeah, this is something we oppose, just like the credit card company Visa did, too.
So you will oppose it, your group will, but you're not explaining how will you fight it? How will you stop it?
I'm on the educational side. Second Amendment Foundation right now has ongoing litigation, last time I checked, in 35 states, including some states with multiple lawsuits. This is going to have to be a legal matter, no doubt in my mind.
So when you say litigation, what is the litigation going after? Can you explain that?
Well, I would hope we would try and stop this from being implemented. Because this is clearly a civil rights violation that's just been outsourced to private companies. I'm not an attorney. I'm just a journalist and a former cop. We have plenty of attorneys that work for Second Amendment Foundation that are infinitely more smarter than me when it comes to what exactly would be targeted by the lawsuit.
We only have a little time left, but as you watch this merchant code go into effect, it's only been in effect, I guess, for a week or so. What happens next as you look at litigation starting? What else will you be watching for?
We'll be looking to see, especially if any of these gun dealers are hit or gun purchases are hit with what we call what they're calling a suspicious purchase. I'm very interested if any of these purchases are stopped because they're considered suspicious, because nobody has yet been able to define exactly what that means.
Lee, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Lee Williams is chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. The organization that supports gun rights is based in Washington State. Up ahead, we learn why a third of Wisconsin restaurant owners feel business is worse now than 3 months ago. You can join in on your establishment, your restaurant, how it's doing. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update and a story from Wisconsin Life are next on the Ideas Network.